Good morning, everyone. I'll just give you the opportunity to find John chapter 10 in your Bible if you have it with you. That's where I'll be starting from. So as you can see, I'm going to be reading and talking on the power of words this morning. Words are important, aren't they? Yeah. Especially if you've got to write 5,000 words in an essay or contribute words to a chapter of a book. All kinds of reasons why words resonate with us. But this morning, I really wanted to take a liberty and chat about the effect of words on us in our spiritual development and the impact that they can have on us. In the way that, as Chloe demonstrated in that Bug's Life clip, that, you know, that the seed goes into the ground, but it talks about that kind of activity that stops the seed from fully flourishing, from fully developing, from fully becoming all that it's supposed to be. And I know from my own experience that in my own spiritual and natural development growing up, that sometimes words have impacted me in such a way as that they've closed me down and they've caused me to be less than I should be. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody else, but it's quite a powerful thing when people have that impact on you with their words, and perhaps they don't even realize that they're doing it. There's an often spoken quote, which is very true, that hurting people hurt people. And I've found that to my own cost. I've been a person who's been hurt, then who's hurt other people with my own words. And I've experienced that as well. So in a lot of what I'm talking about this morning, it's just to release us from the power of those kind of experiences or even those words that still run around in our head from time to time. You know, if you've ever been to a more modern doctor's surgery, but they have these electronic ticker tapes and it just keeps scrolling across messages, and sometimes, I don't know if you're the same as me, from time to time I have that kind of similar thing, electronic. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's indifferent, sometimes it's negative, just reinforcing things about myself. So I want to speak into that and hopefully speak out against it. So who's with me on that this morning? Yeah. Yay, good, good. So I'm just going to read a few verses. It's up there. So John 10, 11 to 14 and 27 to 30. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Then on to verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I sometimes feel a little bit of a fraud at times speaking, because there's such power in the Word of God that I sometimes wish that we could do away with preaching, which would effectively do me out of an opportunity. But in some ways, I just would love that the word would so speak to us in a way that the Holy Spirit would get so wrapped up in the reading and the proclamation of God's word that I wouldn't need to do anything more, that the very words of God and the words of Jesus spoken there would just impact us and cause and bring about the effect and the change that we need to see. So here I am. Bear with me as I go through my own thoughts. On the Journey webpage on Facebook, I asked some people to contribute some of their favourite words, which they duly did. I've left some out for obvious reasons. But Jonathan, if you could put up the next slide. I created a Journey Wordle, so I don't know if you can see your contributions on there. You want to put your hand up if you recognise any of your own words. There's a couple in there, isn't there, yeah? We'll skip over moist, I know, just for Diana's benefit. Curry, cheesecake, harmony, curmudgeon, love, copper. I think Larry's on there somewhere, yeah. Lugubrious, is that how you say it? Yeah. Authenticity. What does lugubrious, does it mean kind of extravagant or? Yeah, I'm not sure. That's your homework. We had a bit of fun with that. So you just get people to kind of give us some of their favourite words. Now, anybody that knows me well enough will know that I'm a big fan of television, TV series, but I'm a big fan of American comedy. Anybody like American comedy television series? I'm sure we've got some Friends fans in. Yeah, Big Bang Theory. I like Frasier, Cheers, Curb Your Enthusiasm. And another one, anybody heard of Seinfeld? It's a long-running American comedy back in the day. And it's about a man called Jerry Seinfeld. He's kind of, he's a stand-up comedian, and he's taken his stand-up work and written it into a situational comedy, which has ran for many series. It's one of the most popular TV comedies in America. And it follows the fortune of Jerry and his three friends, who are George, Elaine, and Kramer. So you've got this quartet of people who are going through various crises. Seinfeld seems to be the sanest out of all three of them. But there's one episode in particular which has now kind of gone into popular culture. And Jonathan, if you could give me the next, it's yada, yada, yada. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase. And although it's been around for a long time, in one episode in particular, in 1997, it's famously now called the Yada 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 episode. And it seems to have dropped in to popular culture, that expression, in a kind of more direct way. And I'll give you an example. So Seinfeld asks Elaine how her evening went. She says, yeah, I met this lawyer. We went out to dinner. I had the lobster. We went back to my place, yada, yada, yada. I never heard from him again. And Seinfeld said, but you missed out the best bit with your yada, yada, yada. Elaine responds, well, I mentioned a lobster. So I suppose you've got to get there. But that yada, 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 what it means is that they're missing out those kind of embarrassing moments of the encounter, or avoiding the incriminating details, or even that bit cutting out of parts of the story just to get to the punchline. I think we use it in the UK. Can anybody think of a similar one? It's kind of blah, blah, blah. You know, we skip over. But interestingly, that wouldn't really have much to do with my talk if we had blah, blah, blah up there, because yada, and Jerry Seinfeld himself is a Jewish gentleman, but it actually has a profound meaning in the Hebrew, yada. Anybody knows what yada means? It actually means knowledge, being known, and to bring us to a kind of point of where we can understand that in its best expression. In the ancient Hebrew, its thought is similar to our understanding of knowing, but it's more personal and intimate. So you might know of somebody in the context of saying, well, I know of their existence. You might know of Jeremy Clarkson or Simon Cowell. Forgive me if anybody knows any of those two people intimately and personally. But it has a much more profound understanding, that in a way that only we can know somebody if we spend a lot of time with them. It's much more intimate and it's much more personal. It's something, hopefully, that we try to cultivate in the journey through our friendship groups, through our small groups, through our times together, whether we're here or whether we're in the Monkey's Forehead having a breakfast or whether in the Barley Mow. There's something about that being known. So that yada is a very strong word. Jonathan, can you put up the next quote? This is quite a powerful quote. Nothing of me is original. And I don't want to get into a debate about that, because clearly there are parts of each one of us that's original. But just in the context of this quote, nothing of me is original. I am the combined effort of everybody I have ever known. Just let that sink into you a little bit as to what that might mean. Now, who I am today is a combined effort of everybody I've known, good or bad. And in a lot of my younger days, a lot of my being shaped into the person that I am has been difficult. It's been profoundly difficult. There's been times of hurt, and there's been times of exposure, and there've been times of not quite feeling worthy or up to the mark. I am the combined effort of everybody I have ever known. And I've said this before, and it's not meant to just be patronizing or flattering words, but in more recent years, particularly since we as a family have joined the journey, I've become probably one of the best expressions of myself. So in my being known in this group, I've probably become one of the best expressions of myself. So that's to the kind of, well, that's down to you guys. And I don't know if anybody else feels that in their times that they've been here, part of this friendship group, this family, church as we probably call it outside, but there's something more profound going in there. We are known by one another. We're being known in an intimate and personal way. It's powerful and it's relational. So let's look at John 10 again. The next slide. Thank you, Jonathan. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yada, to be known intimately and deeply in a way that can only be achieved through close personal relationship. Really getting alongside somebody in the good and the bad, in the tears and the joy. Does anybody have any kind of relationship like that? I hope most of us have. And that word know and known and know is the same word. It's a Greek word called gnosko. And I wish Helen were here. She'd be so proud, because I looked it up in the Vines Expository Dictionary, because we do a lot of work in our small group around Vines and Strongs. But the Greek word used here is very similar to that yada word. It means to understand completely. How many people here have got somebody that really gets you? Yeah, that really gets who you are, that really understands you completely. So this is a known, and it's not just a kind of intellectual or a head knowledge, but it's a personal, intimate understanding. To be known completely and comprehensively. It's a profoundly intimate thing. So my own favorite three-word phrase is, he knows me. Meaning God, meaning Jesus. That has been the most powerful and affecting thing in my life. He knows me. Have the next slide, please, Jonathan. So in that knowing, I just want to read this and let these words flow over you. They're from a book called Knowing God by J.J. Packer. And he describes this sense of being known by God as such. What matters supremely, therefore, is the fact that he knows me. I am never out of his mind. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when his eye is off me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. This is momentous knowledge, unspeakable comfort, knowing that God is constantly watching over me for my good. Wow. It's powerful, isn't it? Yeah. You need to hear those words. Speak them over to you as a blessing. In Old Testament times, there's a blessing called the Shema Israel. And it's, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And there were lots of different sayings that it used to pronounce over groups of people. Good words, words of blessing. That's all that the word blessing means, baraka, a good word. So it was the priest's job, somebody like myself, to stand at the front and proclaim a blessing over God's people. And in the same way, those words are a blessing over you today. You might not feel it yet, but they're a blessing to you. What matters supremely, therefore, to you and to I, is the fact that he knows us. We are never out of his mind. He knows us as friends, one who loves us. And there is no moment when his eye is off us or his attention is distracted from us. And no moment, therefore, when his care falters. This is momentous knowledge, unspeakable comfort, knowing that God is constantly watching over us for our good. Amen? It's good stuff, isn't it? Powerful, powerful stuff. That is how God knows you today. Even if you don't feel it, or you've never experienced it, or you feel it's something that you've recently forgotten about, that is how our God, your God, knows you today. So really, it was going to be a kind of short talk, and I want to ask you to guard against one thing. One thing. I do it. I don't know if you do it, but just speaking negatively over yourself. Now, I know that this has been recorded, so I say this for the purpose of anybody else that might be listening. But some people might be listening, and they might just be saying, yeah, God's love, yeah, God loves me, yada, yada, yada. And it's almost like they're discounting it. They're doing your own yada, yada, yada. And I want to discourage you from that today. If God knew what I was really like, yada, yada, yada. It's a load of nonsense. God does know what you and I are really like. Momentous, unspeakable comfort, knowledge, knowing that God is constantly watching over us for our good. Jonathan, the next slide. Henry Nouwen, a great Christian theologian, writes this. And this resonates with me, these first couple of paragraphs, but we get to the end. Over the years, I have come to realize that the greatest trap in our life is not success, popularity, or power, but self-rejection. As soon as someone accuses me or criticizes me, as soon as I am rejected, left alone, or abandoned, I find myself thinking, well, that proves it once again, that I am a nobody, I am no good, I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. Amen. There's a lady I know of. I can't say that I know her well, but she's a famous prayer warrior back in the day, Suzette Hattings. She used to work with Reinhard Bonnke, lead his prayer ministry, was a real prayer warrior for God. But she was from South Africa, and whenever she spoke at our home church, she used to say, my beloved. All the time she talked about the congregation as the beloved of God. You need to hear that today. I need to hear that. You are God's beloved. Amen? We are, each one of us, God's beloved. So today, choose words of life to speak over yourself. And I can tell you this today with all honesty, that nobody has hurt me more with their words than the ones I personally have chosen to speak over myself. Nobody else's words have hurt me more than the own words that I've chosen to speak negatively over my own life. They've destroyed my own sense of value, self-worth, esteem, confidence, security, and identity in God. I've done that to myself over the years. I have spoken so negatively over my life. All of those good words that God has spoken, who has had good words spoken over them? Who's had words of prophecy? Words when people have just come over and prayed and encouraged you in such a way and said, you know, I really feel that the Lord is saying this to you. Do you know why people say that? Because the Lord really is speaking to you. They really do believe that the Lord wants to say something to you. And what we need to do with that is almost deposit it in our heart and in our mind. Leave it in there. Let that be the tape that runs round in our mind. But I know that constantly, all of that can be undone in a moment of self-loathing. Something just triggers that sense of I'm worthless. You know, I'm forgotten. You know, I'm a nobody. You know, am I speaking to myself here? Has anybody ever felt that from time to time? But take heart. Act on it. Hear God's words today for you. And I just encourage you, another slide. Thank you, Jonathan. Somebody once said that you can't kid a kidder. There's probably a more base and ruder version of that. But in some respects, so you can't kid me, and I hope that we don't try and kid one another today. I really want these words that I've spoken today to land in your heart. So don't be like in James where it says, so don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out of the other, act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who look in the mirror, glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later they have no idea who they are or what they look like. We're here today, I'm here today, the worship has been provided, Chloe's hosted, we've been set up, so that we might have an encounter with God through his Holy Spirit. He wants us to hear something today. He wants us to act on something today. He wants us to take something away and do something with it. And not to yada, yada, yada it out of our lives. This is a special day today. It doesn't matter to me whether I'm speaking to 12 people or 12,000 people. This is special because God's in the house. And there's an encounter opportunity available to each one of us. It's a precious and it's a sacred moment. It really fills my heart with joy that we can hear something from God today that's going to impact us and change us. So before we do that, I just wanted to play one short clip, one of my favorite clips ever from a TV series called Doctor Who. Anybody watch Doctor Who? And I just want you to watch this clip and let it wash over you. Probably where I'm going to leave it, because I want to challenge you with something today. I want you to take something away. I want you to spend some time writing down what you think God has to say about you. It might be 100 words. Hopefully it's more. And take those words, and I'm really serious about this, to find time to write down words, even if you more expressive and you want pictures, but something that you can go to, that sanctuary, when you feel that you become overwhelmed, that you feel that you've been forgotten or abandoned or neglected or left behind or unappreciated or hurt, to go back to those words and pull them out and speak them over yourself and proclaim them and pull out those words so that you can hear God whispering into your ear that you are his beloved. It takes a bit of effort there. But don't stop with just one 100 word contribution. Make it a daily habit. Make it a weekly habit. A habit of writing down what God says about you. Speaking them out. Finding a place to speak them out over your own life. Declaring over yourself your purpose, your destiny, and your calling in God. All of the amazing things that he has planned for you. And some of the amazing things that he's already done for you. Yeah. Read his words. Listen to scripture. Listen to worship songs. Read books that fill you up and encourage you until there's little or no room for anything else other than to feel like a beloved one. Yeah? So I'll leave you with this final slide. Thank you, Jonathan. From the book of Philippians. And I'll close with these words from Paul. And now, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Amen. I don't want anybody to leave here today not feeling that they're not known by God or loved by God or can experience the love of God. So what I'll do is, if that's enough for you, take my challenge, write those words down, Write something down about what God says about you. Let it be that secret place that you can go to and just pull it out and reread it. Change the tape, that negative tape that runs around in our head from time to time, that's crushing and destroying, and that stops us from feeling all that we should be and all that we can be in God. Yeah. And if anybody wants to be prayed for, to be cut off from any negative words, that they just know that that speaks to you personally where you're at, be happy with one or two others just to pray for you. Now let's get it done today. Amen. Why should we wait another day? So I'm just going to close in prayer, and don't be afraid. I'll come to you. You come to me. Just stick your hand up and we'll pray for you. But Lord, we thank you that we are known and beloved by you, that we are your precious children, and that we are made in your image. And Father, we just ask that you would encourage us each day. And only the ways that you can, through your Holy Spirit, bring those wonderful words of comfort and knowledge and revelation that speak to us of just how much you love us. Daily encounters, daily reminders. Use every opportunity you can, Father. We declare today that we allow you to use every opportunity to remind us how much you love us, how beloved we are. And let that be our blessing, Lord, that each day that we would come against those negative words, those negative influences, that we would resist them, we would concentrate what was pure and worthy and lovely and noble, and we would think on those things. So fill us up, Lord, till there's nothing left but to feel loved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.